There's a logical question that comes to, I suppose, the unbeliever, but also to the believer, and that is, why must we pray? And so I want to talk to you about some reasons why we must pray. But some have asked, if God knows what we need before we ask, why should we pray? You're dealing with a God who knows everything. So I remember being rather shocked at a book by a prominent preacher who was trying to talk about prayer, and he said, one of the reasons that we need to pray is to tell God what's going on. Wow, are you that ignorant? No, we don't need to tell him what's going on. I have, first of all, the simplest answer to that question, and that is, he told us to do so. So the God who knows everything told us to pray. So let me share with you some verses. Ezekiel 36:37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. He has said in this passage what he's going to do. The all-knowing God says, this is what I'm going to do. Then he says, yet I will be inquired of this. I want you to be excited about what I'm planning, and I want you to talk to me about it. Philippians 4:6, be careful, be worried, anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So instead of worrying, which of course we know accomplishes so much, worry about, you either worry about things that don't happen, so you wasted your time worrying, or you worry about things that do happen, and so the worry didn't change anything. If we look at the case of Elijah, 1 Kings 17:1, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So we're not told that God told him this, but that seems to be the case. At the end of the 3.5 years, James tells us that it was 3.5 years that it didn't rain, God showed, Elijah was able to show God's power over Baal. You remember the story on the mountain, 1 Kings 18:38-39. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, so they had been following Baal, but after this test, the people saw it, they fell on their faces, they said, the Lord, that is Jehovah, he is the God. The Jehovah, he is the God. And they said, well, that clears it up. See, we were worshiping gods that can't answer prayer. Now, just before all of that, God had told him, because he had hidden him out. He had hidden him. He knew that the king would be looking for him. So he sent him, first of all, into isolation, sent him by the little creek with no deli close by. God fed him with the birds and so on. The birds fed him, dropped food. Then, finally, because God put him at the place where he knew the last of the water would run as everything was drying up. So, Brook Cherith, if I remember right. So then he goes, he says, now it's time to move because the water's run out here. So he goes outside of Israel and stays with the widow. And they have adventures there. So he was cared for by God during this time of the drought. But at the end of that time, in 1 Kings 18:1, we back up a little bit from the last quote here. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So God had said he was going to send rain. However, if you go through the story, you find that he kept praying, that he was praying, sent the servant to go look in the sky. He saw nothing. He came back. He spent some more time praying. He sent him again. Finally, he says, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand on the horizon. And he says, okay, that's it. So he was praying all of this. And what was he praying for? What God had already promised to do. So, let's ask the question then, why would God want us to pray when he has promised to care for us? Well, let me give you four thoughts. Number one, prayer keeps us humbly dependent on God's grace. When he was sending them to the promised land, he told them that God was going to supply their needs in an abundant way. They were going to come in, and they were going to take over where people had been living, wiping out those that God had judged. They would move into houses that were already built. They would take up cultivating fields that had already been planted, harvesting crops that they hadn't planted, but had been planted before. And he says, while you were in the wilderness, there was no food. I supplied your food every day, all through the day, supplied water from miraculous sources. And with the millions of people that were there, that was no easy task. Then he warns them in Deuteronomy 8:17, beware lest when things get easy for you, that thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. So if God has given you some sort of a pension, some sort of a paycheck, some sort of a ability to pay for your things, don't make the mistake of saying, I have done this by my own power. And he goes on to say, because I'm the one who gives you all the ability to make wealth. In our country, the economics are such that you can find a job and so on. So if he just supplied everything without wanting us to talk to him, don't you think we would fall into that attitude? That it just happens. This isn't from him. This may be because I'm special or whatever, you know. But to keep us humbly dependent on God's grace, he allows us to lack, to ask, and then to receive. The second thought is this. Prayer keeps us in communion with God. You know this, that when we drift away from an intimate relationship with him, we would rather speak of him than to him. We just don't go to prayer. So he tells us that he misses the conversation. He wants us to spend time with him talking. Song of Solomon 8:13. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. I'd like to hear what you have to say. See? I want that relationship. I want to have that communion. You know, that's the whole idea of becoming a saved person, is that you are back in communion with God the Father. You recognize how we prize the love letters of a child. God considers our prayers precious. You say, well, you know, the church received a gift today. Tina and Dana Hayden brought a gift over. It's in the Sunday school room now. And it's a nicely framed picture. It's a chalk art picture. And must have meant something special to Velma. It was drawn by her uncle, her mother's younger brother, Vic, if I remember right. So that documentation is not on the chalk drawing. It's of Jesus being baptized. He and John the Baptist standing in a lake or river. I guess it would have been the river, wouldn't it? So anyway, we prize the love letters of a child. Grandma, I love you. Little tiny Samuel and Elizabeth. And you love it that the grandma is misspelled, you know. pictures that mean a lot to us, even though they're not so wonderful, you know. It's just precious because it's that communication. A third thing is this. Prayer is one of the tools God uses to bring us to spiritual understanding. It's part of the growth process. What I'm saying is that the very process of asking and receiving allows time for growth and His special preparation of us to handle His answers properly. If your prayer isn't answered right away, and so you have to keep praying, it may not be that God doesn't want you to have it, but that you're not ready for it yet. You know, very often a parent wouldn't actually be opposed to their child having a pony if they were old enough to take care of it, if they had any idea of what the responsibility would be. And this is why Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given to you, seek, which goes beyond asking, you see, and you shall find, knock. And all of these are present tense. Keep on doing it. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So He made it a process that becomes part of the tools of us growing up in Him. And then finally, prayer gives us the privilege of working together with God. What a privilege that is. He says, when we talk about it, then I count that as you working with me. And frankly, there is a great need in this world of men. And we are to work together with Him to wage spiritual warfare. In this work, prayer is our greatest weapon to fight beside our captain of the host. So with these thoughts, it makes sense in the larger sense, in God's sense, of going to prayer and asking, even though He knows everything, He knows what's going to happen, all that. It's for our benefit more than His.